Welcome to Cold Reads, Episode 18. Cold Reads is a weekly podcast read by Nathaniel Tower. Each week, Nathaniel invites an author to send his or her wildest, funniest, most twisted story. Without reading the story ahead of time, Nathaniel records an audio version, trying to maintain his composure as the author takes the audience on a wild ride. Week 18 brings you Liber's Looking by Andrew Stanchek. In his childhood, Andrew Stanchek was profoundly affected by a classic Czech poem which ends with the words, "Something fell, a child's head without a body, and a body without a head." Slightly later, he pondered Achilles, triumphant, dragging Hector's lifeless body in front of the gates of Troy. When the Russian army occupied his hometown, he agreed with the philosopher who said it was bound to end this way. He grew up to find Kafka hilarious and continues to be inspired by mythologies. Liber's Looking by Andrew Stanchek. Father slams the front door so hard the Dresden ballerina figurine wobbles and starts to topple. I run and catch it. Mother's bedroom door remains closed. She told me that her sleep is so light that in the night she hears a petal drop off a rose, so heavy that in the morning she sleeps through his rages. I hear his mutters as he prepares to face the day and stumbles up the staircase from our basement apartment. He kicks something, swears. The outside door must be open, but he slams it shut too. "You have to work on pleasing him, boys," Mother says. "It's so hard for him in the new country, worrying about a new job, money." "It's no picnic for us either," I want to tell her. She wails when she is upset. The friendly counselor yesterday said we have to expect a period of adjustment. At the airport 2 days ago, Aunt Lipka was the only relative to see us off. "At least there'll be lots of other Slavics. They'll all help you feel at home," she said. Father dropped a bag on the tail of our dog I was petting for the last time. He yelped and bit my hand. I screamed. I looked at Mother's teary face and Father's glower and knew better than to cry. "He doesn't have rabies," I said. "I'm okay." It throbbed, rabies or not. Father patted the top of my head. "I must have been bitten 10 times by the time I was your age." I leaned hard into him. The dog had always been a yapper and a nipper. Mother liked to nuzzle him and feed him cream puffs. When he licked her face, she laughed and called him her precious Nufko. I tried to teach him to fetch, but he stared at the stick, then me, rolled on the ground, wagged his tail. Father growled when I complained, rolled his eyes. "Your mother's dog, what do you expect?" As we walked along the narrow passage into the plane, I heard Father's hiss. "I refuse to deal with riffraff in Slovakia, and won't put up with them in Toronto either. We'll be fine on our own." Mother lifted up my brother, stopped, turned to look back. I turned too, only strange faces behind us. She now purses her lips, and I get a pain behind my eyes. "Comb your hair, Liber. Put the comic book away. I don't speak the local Hotmatuka, and you had expensive lessons. Your father is busy out there. It's up to you to find us a bakery, a greengrocer, a butcher. We have $20 until your father gets paid next week." "I know what Father said, but are there really no Slavics in the whole of Toronto, we can ask, Mom?" I see the eye twitch and don't wait for the tear. "Yes, yes, of course, Mom. We'll have apples, buns, sausage, beer for Father. I'll find them." She pulls my brother to her, musses his hair. He struggles. "Mom, I am 5. Don't." She gives his behind a pat. "Go brush your teeth, big man." She reaches out, squeezes my hand. "You can do this, Liber. I know you can." I lead us into the jabbering street bustle. In Bratislava, the streets smell of freshly baked bread, salami. Stalls overflow with apricots, red currants, cauliflower. Only car exhaust and disinfectant here. I look from storefront to storefront, into faces, search for a glimmer of warmth, a hint of direction. These people wear clothes we had seen in Bratislava only in glossy magazines smuggled in from Vienna. 3 unbearably thin women chatter by, trail a cloud of perfume. Models, they must be models. How can I ask for help of someone like that? The briefcase-wielding men march in 2s and 3s, brows knit. I run ahead, nothing promising. I look back. I see a creature dressed in an oversized purple robe, with metallic gray hair teased out like a bird's nest. Behind her, a sniveling child who is spreading snot on his face with a fist, a whine in Slavic. "Mommy, I'm hungry. Can't you give me something? I want klobasa." "Stop it! We're all hungry. As soon as Liber finds something in this godforsaken city, we'll eat it. Until then, shut it." She yells out, "Liber, can you walk with us? You're 20 steps in front, doing nothing. Ask someone, damn it!" I want to hide in an alleyway. "Father, where is he? I need one of his sayings. Whatever they're offering, take it. But there is nothing, nothing at all. If it's worth doing, do it well." But I don't know what to do, Father, well or not. "Paddle, paddle with all your might." "That's it, I have to paddle harder." A woman approaches, mother's age, a dog by her side. She coos to him. He sniffs a doorway, stops for a pee like our Nufku back home. She won't bite me. I shuffle up, let the dog smell my hand, pet him. She smiles. "Food," I say. "Want store, with food, my family." I point back. The woman nods. "New in the country?" I understand her. She's speaking in English, and I understand. I laugh with relief, nod. She points down the street. "Lights, see all the lights flashing, like Christmas lights?" I peer, see them. "Everything you need is there." I pet her dog again. He licks my palm. I take my brother's hand and run. The miracle takes up a whole block. The wall of the second floor is decorated with cartoons of Popeye and Olive, of Tweety and Sylvester, cartoon characters and signs everywhere. In the windows, next to kitchen utensils, umbrellas, tents, fishing gear and pen sets, I see towers of canned food, baskets of fruit, trays of rolls and pastries. The sign of salvation flashes on and off. I understand it. "Why are you standing there? Come on in. This is what you've been looking for. Honest Ed's, the greatest store in the world." Mother catches up. She wipes her face with her hand. "We'll eat after all," she says. "Your father will have this beer." She squeezes me to herself. An eager shopper bumps into us. "Tonight we'll play a game of Monopoly together." I open the store door wide, breathe in cured meats as well as a sharp, unfamiliar smell. That was Liber's Looking, by Andrew Stanchek. This concludes episode 18 of Cold Reads. I'll be back next week with another story.